everyone, and welcome to the show Alternative Health and Wellness with this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us today, live on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and we are also archived on iTunes. Today we're going to have a great show. We're coming to the end of the year, and a lot of people are saying, oh, we're looking back on our lives, seeing what we've done, what we haven't done, and everything, and, you know, hey, I think it's time to go get my annual checkup and see how good I've been doing and everything. But then, do we really look back and say, what kind of a life have I been leading? Where am I going? What's, you know, instead of waiting for things to happen to us. You know how everybody goes to the doctor and they say, oh, well, he said my sugar is high and we're going to check it again in 6 months. We're going to check it again in a year. And I'm like, what are you waiting for? What are you not doing something about it now? Are you just waiting to hit that door and implode? And we also think that about life, too. You know, we keep saying, oh, yeah, well, I really don't like that job, or my relationship's really not working, but, hey, I'll give it another year. Something might change. Or I'll give it another year, and maybe that other person will change. And you just never know, and you just keep going and going on this pattern. And you think, when you get to the end of it, each year starts to eke out a little notch, I say, in your chain. You know, each time it takes something out of you. You say, I don't know if I can get up that much more and be able to make a change, and they kind of settle into it. So are you really living your life? Are you dying from the challenges, as we say? Are you saying that, you know, everything is just happening to me, I'm just a victim? Hey, let me lay down and life is just going to, you know, blossom over me and everything's going to go on with or without me. It's really all about living a life that's important to you. It's really all about being here, being present, participating, doing the things that are good for you and for those around you, but have some kind of value, have some kind of responsibility for it instead of just waiting for that door when you hit it and say, oops, you know, how big is that door? Is it going to take me out now, or can I just remedy myself for the next year or two, and I'll wait for the next one and that one might take me out? So today we're going to be talking about living your life. My guest today is Temple Hayes. Her book is When Did You Die? 8 Steps to Stop Dying Every Day and Start Waking Up. And that's vitally important because, you know, every notch you take out, it has to take something out of you. And your get up and go definitely got up and went. So it's a pleasure to have Temple with us today. Temple, it's a pleasure, and this is a great book, and I can't wait to get started.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on your show today. I love the work that you're doing in the world and educating and teaching people different tools that they can use to live more of an empowered and self-actualizing life. It really is what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, you look at them, they come to me at the end of life and they say, my doctor can't fix me, you know, you have 6 months and how much should I write the check for? You know, and it's really, you know, we can't fix, we can't save, and we're not all miracle workers, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, it's just incredible how we go through certain tragedies and then we have triumph and then we have things that we face in our lives. I look at my own life, which, you know, I make a reference to quite frequently in the book. And, you know, I can see now that without those situations and circumstances, I would not be near as effective. I would not be able to really articulate to people at depth ways that I believe can be impactful and helpful because they've been tested and tried and true with myself. You know, I know they work because I've worked them through myself, because I looked at where I was becoming, you know, a person not really with self-esteem and not really exemplifying a lot of my talents and gifts because I had died a lot. I had stuff a lot about myself, ways and characteristics about myself. And I had, you know, because of being made fun of or feeling like I didn't fit in, I stopped being that. I don't think there's anything more painful than not being who you are. You know, since the beginning of time, philosophers have talked about how our creator is kind of hid inside of us. And it becomes kind of fascinating and also kind of comical, doesn't it, that no matter what we do, we can't avoid ourselves.
we
can't do it.
It seems like this little maze that we always have to go through to be able to get through life. We're not supposed to be comfortable in sitting still. You know, is everybody supposed to have this life where everything's holly jolly and candy cotton and candy, you know, we always say, you know? And I think those challenges are exactly what makes us who we are. And you just need to learn from those instead of wallowing in them. We've had a lot of guests on here talking about wallowing. I mean, when you sit there in that, oh, woe is me, and everything you post on social media is, oh, my gosh, you know, and you put these labels on yourself, it becomes you. And so many times, you know, just before end of life that I work with clients, we always say, it's time to shed the labels, you know. When you go to heaven, you're just going to be standing there, and it's not about your labels. It's not about your baggage that, you know, God doesn't sign for UPS. And, you know, you can't carry all that crap with you. So it's time to just start letting go. And wouldn't it be so much better if we could let go when we're in life instead of at the end of it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It would be. And, you know, when I was little and I was able to kind of read people's energy, you know, I could tell when people had energy and when people did not really express a large amount of energy. And to me, that is part of one of the reasons I wanted to write this book, is because there's so many people today that are just kind of buying into a belief that, you know, when you go through hard times, then there's going to be less of you after you get finished. Or, you know, if you're working in an unhappy job, it just wears you out. Or if you go through crisis, you know, there's not enough of you to get through, and you just hope to kind of have the rest of your life and just kind of not have any major events happen, when really the opposite is true. The more you endure and the more you walk through, it doesn't mean you don't walk through challenge. That would be kind of a non-intelligent statement. If we're human in a human suit, we're going to go through some hard times or challenges. Not everybody's going to like us, and all those kind of things. But as you face it and walk through it, you know, what I've come to realize and proven to myself is you can have more energy on the other side of it. We have so many people today in our society that buy into this idea of being old. And we're talking people that are 20 and 30 years old. We're not talking about people that are, you know, 120 and living in Florida with me. We're talking about, you know, young people that are already buying into this idea that they're just going to be worn out and old and depressed and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's time for, you know, for us to all have a shout out and say, wake up. Let's stop dying every day. Let's start waking up. Realize what you're saying and what you're believing.
You know, I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona for 10 years. Talk about the land of let's not grow old, you know? I mean, there were no potholes in the streets. You know, it was the land of the perfect. But yet still, if you looked behind the walls that coveted all their neighborhoods, those people still had the same issues that everybody else did. It's just how big or how thick their packaging was, you know? And it's all about your packaging of what you want to hold on to and what you don't want to hold on to. I mean, even when we're at our lowest, when we come into a healthcare provider and we're not feeling well, we're still going to give up a package. We're going to tell the doctor what we think he wants to hear. He's busy. He's smarter. He's more intelligent, or she, or whatever that might be. And we still don't open up ourselves to be able to find what really would heal our hearts and our souls. Because isn't that really the core of the whole thing? I mean, I always say on the show all the time that our body is really just a hanger for our bones, our skin, and our clothes, so everybody could recognize us. You know, our inner being is who we are, not all of this other stuff.
No doubt about it. And, you know, with your line of work, as well as I know in mine, is that even if you don't face the courage of your life while you're living, you're going to face the courage of your life while you're dying. And we say that often with people in hospice, is people die the way they live. So people that dread the next step, or dread walking through change, or dread facing what's right around the corner, they have that same kind of energy, you know, that they take into their dying experience. But for me, the passion is about that. It's like the statement I put in my book attributed to Gary Busey, the secret of life is not whether we will live or die. It's the parts of ourselves that we allow to die while we're living. Today, people are fascinated with near-death experiences, but what I'm more interested in are near-life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's people that just settle. They really want an amazing relationship with another human being, but they settle for just something. That's a near-life experience because they missed it, right? I mean, they lower their standards. They don't hold the ideals high enough until the right person comes along, or people that settle for just some place of employment, but they're not really happy, you know, and they go in on Monday and complain about it all day, and then on Friday can't wait to get out the door. That's a near-life experience rather than something that's thriving and rewarding and beneficial. And so those are the kind of things that my heart is just like, wow, let's go here. You know, let's get going.
Don't you sometimes feel when you move into those areas where those people are congregated or whatever, or you're listening to it and you're just going, oh man, I really feel like, you know, you almost feel like you're like in a sump pump. You almost feel like you're being sucked down. Your energy, no matter how you came in, sometimes it can get pulled down into those spaces and you're just going, oh my goodness, what am I going to, you know, I need to keep myself up here and be able to be enlightened for myself because I don't want to go there.
Exactly. It is real important that we surround ourselves with a circle of influence of people that are really dynamic and are really practicing some of the things that we're participating in. And I certainly find it helps me, you know, and I'm a person, I'm immensely extroverted and very public and have been for many years, but I create my energy by often being by myself or, more importantly, being in nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of times I've spoken on the show before, my daughter works in the emergency rooms, and she's very young. She's only 23. And then one day she had said to me, she said, oh, I need to look up the other program for the next hospital I'm going to. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I do the cuddle program at every hospital I go to. It's where you go to the NICU and you sit and you hold the babies and rock them when their parents aren't there. So she does this randomly at every hospital she works at. So that's just a perfect example of it. You know, you're watching death every minute of your regular job, but you're turning around and looking at the good side of it also, that, you know, that people can still be born and, you know, gaining some energy from both scenarios.
Absolutely. It's that word called balance, isn't it?
Mm. You know, and so many people have these jobs too, or these relationships, and they say, my goodness, you know, well, I got married now. I don't need my high heels anymore. And, you know, hey, I'm not going to color my hair anymore because, oh, I can be natural. And, you know, it doesn't matter that I don't own a dress. And you go, really, gosh, you know, strap on those stilettos and stand up straight again sometimes. You know, we hear a lot of women now that it's not about the stilettos, but it is about being able to have a little bit pride in yourself and a little bit more oomph in your kick, as you would say it, because your life really is tick-tock passing by, you know?
Absolutely. You know, no doubt about it. And it is incredible how, even though in our humanity we desire to change, how often, you know, people will stay stuck in their positionality or try to make their mediocrity the way it ought to be. And but we don't change that longing or that inner desire to be more because it never stops. It's just like for people that can see that ethereal energy. I know you just had Sandra Ingerman on your show, and when you look at a plant, you can see the ethereal energy. You can see what that plant will be once it matures, and the same is true for us. You know, in our own human suit, is each of us, we are here to grow into a certain pattern and to become a certain destiny, and we can make all the excuses that we want or avoid it or whatever, but it's just like a plant that's not able to thrive or has other ideas of trees hovering over it. It eventually starts leaning to the side and things don't go well. I mean, that's just the law of nature. You know, we're either growing or we're dying at any given time. And so we might be on the surface teasing other people or tricking them, but we never really trick ourselves. I used to use that saying all the time of, you know, my dreams are waiting on me to come true. But what I realized in saying I'm waiting on my dreams to come true is that it is about my dreams are waiting on me to come true. So what part of me has to come true in order for me to have the life that I really dream of having? And that sometimes means making different choices. It means taking better care of myself. It means not hanging out with just mediocre experiences, you know, and it's always stretching. Don't you find? I mean, I say to people all the time, if your mom thought enough of you to stretch so you could be born, I hope you'll think enough of yourself to stretch so you can really be born.
Yeah. I think a lot of
and
people,
wake
they sit
up.
Back and they sit back and they wait, and they just think that that's as high as they can go based upon, you know, their ancestors or based upon their ideas or their beliefs that they were born with or grown up with. You know, I mean, if we couldn't be having this conversation right now in the 60s and 70s when I grew up. There was no way we could have this conversation because people just wouldn't even know what you were talking about, you know. And so you have to look at it as time in history now where people are starting to wake up. It couldn't have happened at a more, you know, at other times. So we just need to continue to move through that and see where
it'll
take us.
Absolutely, and have shows like yours and books like mine that we keep everything on the forefront of people's reality, so there is the potential of changing, because you and I grew up at the same time, and I was, you know, considered to be very weird and odd, and, you know, the kids made fun of me and bullied me and, you know, different kind of things. But I, for whatever reason, I was always kind of assertive, so I didn't get bullied too much. But, you know, certainly that went on. But we're way past knowing also in our culture, don't you think? I mean, we have all this information. We have more books than we've ever had in the marketplace. We have all these people teaching about possibilities in your gratitude list and your journal. But at the end of the day, the knowing has to turn into growing, has to turn into showing. And it's time, I think, for a lot of people to move those aha moments and those epiphanies to really making some changes, because we truly do live in the great Pandora. We really do. Like the movie Avatar, I mean, we can have that kind of life. And it's just getting through, having people look at, be willing to do some changes so that they can have that kind of life. I'm sure you've seen it many times with people that have that waking up defined moment that then they realize, wow, a lot of things are possible, but we have to start living, being true to ourselves. Not like you said, according to our parents. Or my teacher told my parents I was never going to amount to anything because I talked too much. She would be surprised if that's how I've made my whole living, my whole life, is through speaking. So,
yes, isn't that exactly? They always say those things, that which we turn into bees, it seems. I can remember being in dental hygiene school, and the dean from the dental hygiene school came in, and this was in the early 70s, and he says, oh, this profession is just not for you. You need to drop out now. And I'm like, what? You know, and I was very naive as a teenager, and I was just didn't even faze me what he was talking about. And I kind of just went on my own merry way, you know, turning into see hundreds of thousands of patients and over 40 years. And it was just, you know, that was just what I did, and I was just good at it, and that was the way it was. And I never did drop the profession till I was good and ready. But, you know, you look at it and you say, you know, well, maybe that was just his thoughts. Maybe that was his fear, or maybe he just didn't get it, you know. And we did not realize that then. We just heard it. We took it on, and we moved on.
We didn't have access then to a knowledge to validate ourselves you know.
I think so too. Now, have you noticed the younger kids now, the kids that are very young, and I'd say under 10, but then also those all the way through 30. I think those have been born of that different generation where they've really not come in with all of that baggage. They've come in with simpler lives, cleaner slates, and a really much greater awareness of the world around them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it, you know, is important that people of other generations allow them to stay in that space and not try to put them in a box or limit them in any way, because that seems to be something that, you know, doesn't help break the cycle, is when just the same old repetitive patterns happen over and over and over again. We had some college kids come to our house the other night, and one of the guys said, "I want to read your book. I feel like I'm dying, dying a little." And I said, "You know, what do you mean?" And he goes, "Well, you know, I'm supposed to be following this profession, you know, and I'm not really sure." And so you can tell he's being influenced by what's appropriate according to everyone else, except what he wants to do. And it was so cute. They walked to the beach, and he read a little bit out of it, and then he left me a note, "Thank you for waking me up." I thought it was so sweet.
I think that
that's important.
You know, this show, we've done that a lot, and I'm sure your book also, is that when you enlighten people that it is okay to let go of that stuff and it is okay to think differently, in other words, we're giving them permission to say, cool, you know, great, I'm glad you're there, you know. People come to me really sick, and I'll say, what's really eating at you, you know, and they'll say, they'll go on to some other tangent, and you keep pushing them and pushing them and pushing them until they eventually come to the wall, and you say, oh, fabulous, finally you got to it. Now we have somewhere to start with, you know. And until you get there, I think, in life, to that really basic part of what's really holding you back or where you're forming your ideas or your thoughts, you're not going to be able to go much farther ahead because there's just so much muck to go through.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I long for people to wake up, you know, more and to have less medication and less numbing from alcohol and those kind of things. I long to be more in a participating kind of world where people feel like they get a vote by the way they're living and by the way they're modeling. I think that's important, and I would love to see more people honor nature and make different choices than we do with all the animals in the world that are so abused. And, you know, the list is kind of long, but chipping away, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. And the main thing that, you know, you and I both know is that the people that are vibrant lights, that do believe in possibilities, that they don't get discouraged, but that we can all kind of find each other and keep speaking the voice of truth in the ways that we feel are important and significant to other people, that we don't die a little and stop sharing the things that we're passionate about. I hear a lot of people say sometimes, you know, well, gosh, there's so much that needs to be done in the world. It can be overwhelming. And what they're often saying is they're not doing anything, you know, because they don't pick one thing or they don't focus on one area. Yes, there's always a lot to do. Goodness, we have 7-something billion people. Of course, there's a lot to do to coexist. But on the other hand, if we could all just pick one or two areas to focus on, it wouldn't be a lot for anyone. You know, collectively, we would be able to achieve a lot.
Well, Temple, can you tell us a little bit about, in your book, you talk an awful lot about soul retrieval and your soul, how that fits into this picture? Because a lot of people they have that, maybe it rises up in the back of their mind, but they really haven't put any emphasis on it because they haven't understood it. You know, religion, let's talk about, you know, I mean, I grew up Roman Catholic, you know, what kind of talk do we have about soul? It was, you know, you read and you memorize and you regurgitate exactly what the dogma you were taught. But other than that, no one really had a connection to what it was.
Well, you know, since ancient time, there were always tribes on our planet and people that could resonate with each other and understood a connection with nature, understood a connection with each other, with themselves, and also they could, you know, manifest and attract certain things into their lives. That's how they survived. That's how they did hunting and gathering and, you know, all those kind of things. And unfortunately, especially in the Western world, because we didn't understand the gifts and talents that a lot of people had that way, whether they were a shaman or a Native American Indian or whether they were a mystic, whatever they were, in that misunderstanding, there was too much threat. And so we kind of invalidated and or, you know, we did a lot of disservice and took over a lot of those kind of discounted those methodologies. But there's something that lies dormant throughout the world, and they've gone into different tribes and studied throughout the world that everybody practices in a similar way. We're not talking people that even have computers. We're talking people that live in a very tribal way. So lying within each of us is that same capacity. It's part of our heritage. It's part of who we are. And as a child, I knew that. I knew that, you know, I could ask my creator to provide me with a dog because I really wanted one, and one would show up. I just knew that we were connected to nature and, you know, all these kind of things, and I felt really connected to spirit. And then I became part of a religion that said their way was the only right way, and after a while, I started forgetting those natural innate tendencies that I had, or because of acceptance or lack of, started to stuff them. But when I became like in my 30s, I had been sober for a few years. I had, you know, been facing life and just getting on to the next thing and building my career. I started noticing that my energy, my pep in my step, like you said when you opened the show, my pep in my step started kind of walking away. And the only way I could describe it was like that of, I didn't know how to put words on it because I didn't know what it was. I knew it wasn't a physical condition. But I started saying it kind of feels like a soul ache. You know, and so what I mean by soul is, you know, it's the part of us that is eternal. It's the quest. It's the life quest that we're on, our soul path, so much more than our personality, but that inner connection to spirit that, you know, we live and move and have our ultimate being in.
Right.
And our soul is alive because spirit says you're still alive today. You know, and we know that because we had breath this morning and we didn't have to plan for it. We just woke up, you know, with the power of breath. So in that particular space of myself, having that soul ache, I went, I need help. I need something that can help me that obviously at this point, my self-inspiration, my invigorated spirit can't do by itself. And so through a series of events, I met this woman that I was supporting that she had lost her husband. She was only 42, and he dropped dead suddenly from a heart attack, and I went to see her. Often when people die, their surrounding loved ones, they have like a gray energy. I mean, they're kind of anesthetized to cope with the pain, and she was all vibrant and lit up, and you know, I was like, wow, you know, what happened to you? You know, how you're doing so well. And she said, well, this woman had come to visit her and had done a soul retrieval. And it was like, aha, wow, that's what I want. You know, that's what I need. And the moment I had that conversation with her, it's just like I remembered who I was. I remembered, oh, this is how life used to work for me. Things just come very organically and very natural. I don't have to push them. I don't have to force them because I had been on that great big grand ladder of success. Climb, 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 make it happen, make it happen. You know what I mean? And a lot of us as women bought into that just to stay caught up or to validate ourselves or to become empowered. Right. We had to prove ourselves. And so anyway, I just said, okay, if this is meant to be, it will be. And shortly thereafter, a whole other group of people started telling me about this woman that did soul retrieval. And I went and got the book by Sondra Ingerman. I didn't read it right away. I said, okay, if this is meant to be, it will happen. So all of a sudden, can you see, I've already started being more relaxed into who I am, more authentic, right? But when I did pick up the book, I couldn't put it down. And
right.
I just knew it was absolutely mine to do. So soul retrieval ultimately is a process led by someone that knows what they're doing, leading you through it, someone that's trained and open. And there's images that are revealed that show where you've had loss of energy in your body through whatever those experiences are. Is that elaborate enough, or did I kind of paint it? I was trying to put it in just everyday
sure.
terms.
Well,
and I hope I did it good enough.
Here's the way I see it, too, and I've explained it before, is that let's say you're sitting down at home and you get a phone call and it's something that you would go, oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, I feel like, you know, and then you feel like you're falling to your knees or you're falling down or you're sitting down. That's when some part of you has a, what we would call a heart whack, you know. It just took your
mm-hmm.
breath away. It took a piece out. And then what's up to you from right at that very moment is to decide, do you stay bending forward and curled up and let it take that part out of you, so then you're less than, or can you stand up straight and said, I'm empowered, and how can I bring that forth, you know? A perfect
Absolutely.
Example is let's say that someone calls and says, so like your kids call up and say something, and you say, oh my, and you hang up the phone, and you say, oh my gosh, I'm so worried about it. And just as I'm saying that, you could almost picture a woman sitting in the couch, you know, curled forward, you know, wringing her hands. She's worried about something. And, you know, some women, they can do this for days, weeks, years on end. But then if you turn it around and say, as soon as you make that statement, say, yes, I'm so worried about it, but is there anything I can do about it? And then the answer would be either yes or no. And then the next step would be, okay, so the one thing I can do about it is to just send them light and love, or just, you know, send my energy, positive energy out there instead of curled up in this ball, because I'm good for no one, including myself. So that's a little bit about it. And when you do that, when you send something out of something greater or good, your body posture will change. Your shoulders will go back. You'll sit up straight, and you have to almost stand up. You just can't sit there, you know, bent forward, wringing your hands. You notice that you have to do a different action, and the different action is a more positive one.
Absolutely. You truly and literally put energy back into your body. But a lot of times with people, because I've done soul retrieval on many, many people, and a lot of times people aren't conscious of the fact, you know, that they've had loss from an event
right.
or from an experience. For example, there was this one woman, she's probably between 45 and 50, and one of the images I saw, several, but one of them that I saw little girl hands holding a stone and looking at the stone. Well, I have no idea what this means, but I tell her, and she starts sobbing. And, I mean, she was just like wailing, and I said, you know, what is that reminding you of? And she said, when I was a little girl, my father gave me a stone, and I went out into the woods, and I made a vow to God, and I haven't kept it. Well, see, lying dormant within her was some agreement that she made that was very important to her. So she was energetically dying about that one particular thing because she wasn't fulfilling that. So she had this, you know, huge aha moment.
Right.
I see death a lot. I see death quite yeah. frequently, you know, when someone has died. That becomes evident. Another area where people aren't totally aware how it impacts them because they feel like they made the right choice is women who have abortions or men who endure the abortions. They take away energy from someone. And I'm not trying to be pro or not pro or getting into all that. I'm just talking about the level of energy. It has to be addressed. Intellectually, it may feel like the right choice, But as far as a person energetically, it has to be worked through and processed, you know, to be a thriving person. So it's pretty interesting, you know, the kind of things that you see. I also see when people did a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
Some people won't come see me because they don't want me to see that. But, you know, drugs definitely show a fragmentation of a soul path, that's for sure.
And always a thing that's going to hold them back is always that which they're afraid for anyone to hear or see. And sometimes mm-hmm. I think that's why people don't get the extra help that they would need to release them in this lifetime, because they are afraid of what it might potentially be, and that really just leads you down the path of fear. So then you're leading a life of fear. And how many people lead a life of fear? Probably the majority of people at this point, because they always have fear about something, one thing or another, that always steers their boat, don't you think?
Absolutely, and I think as much as people would be surprised to hear this, that's why you do what you do, that's why I do what I do, is they're not really fooling anyone. You know, you
right.
can carry a large purse or a big wallet if you're a man, and you can say, I'm financially well off,
right.
and no one would necessarily know whether you are or not, or you can be walking or go to dinner with your husband or your best person, and you could be, you know, intertwined with people all the time, and they would assume you're happy when you're really not. But you can't really fool your body, and you can't really fool your energy. You know, if you're not congruent, and if you're afraid to take the next steps in your life, and you're avoiding what needs to be done, I mean, ultimately, you're not really fooling anybody, because your body starts reacting in ways of, you know, various illnesses and challenges and those kind of things, because the body is the one area about ourselves that doesn't live in harmony with our lives. And, you
yeah.
know, I say in the book that, you know, even people will say, oh, that's just a white lie. Well, you can't really color code a lie. It is what it is. You can
right.
call it a different color, but it doesn't change the truth of what it is. And if you lie to your body, eventually it's going to lie you down, you know, in one way or another. And to me, I don't mean that as a should or a shame. There's just a kind of an earthly sadness, kind of a earth soul retrieval thing going on, that there's so many people that if they only knew how great life could be, just by the willingness to make a few changes and give up thinking about how big of a deal it would be to be found out, you know, when
yeah.
it's kind of evident anyway they're not happy.
But they protect these lies for so long, and those lies is just something they're telling themselves. Does anybody else really care? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just, it does, if you did it, you did it. We're not holding on to it. You're the one that's holding on to it. So it will eat you. It will eat you all the way to your core, but it's not going to eat us all the way to our core. So you just getting better in touch with it is really where the release is all about. It's not about, I mean, if you're hanging around with a group of 10 people and they all think that you have a ton of money and that your family is all great and they're all intelligent, blah, blah, blah story that you've created, well, and they find out that maybe you're not on one of those parameters, then maybe they're not the same or the right people that you need to be around. You know, those people that
mm-hmm.
truthfully, you know, would honor you for who you are is what you're looking for. You're not looking for people who are honoring that which you present.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know.
The great mirroring of people that, I mean, ultimately, the right people in your life are just people that want you to be content and comfortable with who you are, right?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this a lot in domestic abuse. You know, there's a whole lot of lies and truths that we've grown up with. And, you know, the lie is that, you know, oh, it's your fault with guilt and shame when you grow up, and then you turn around and get to be an adult, and you think that you're not worthy, you can't trust, and that nothing you have is of value. So those are really hard, those truths and lies, to be able to shake that. But, you know, you have got to work through it at some point, or it will take you down. You know, you'll become the victim, or you'll become a perpetrator, whatever that will be. So whatever you think or you believe, you can take it to the next extent, you know, or you can make some changes, and that's what your book is about. It's about making changes.
Yeah, and often I find, and I bet this is the same for you, the avoidance of change is much more harder than just making the change. It, you know, the dread of it is so much more of an ordeal than just stepping into it and being willing to do it. I mean, I've found that a number of times in my life, that the times I talked about over and over again about not looking forward to doing it, I could have already done it.
Right.
You know, but you start figuring that out over time, and we're not going to avoid change anyway. It's inevitable that it's going to come, and we're kind of making that choice every day. We're either growing a little, or we're dying a little, energetically speaking.
And it's not about perfection either, because, you know, we have to learn a little bit as we go. We can't always be right and always upholding everything. So what if something else happens? It's not like it's going to take you to your knees again. It's just you need to say, oops, I guess I didn't do that the way I wanted to do it. Maybe I'll try a different way next time, and move on instead of sitting mm-hmm. in the sludge, you know? That's the
worst
part.
Oh, I love that. Exactly. That gentle way of treating oneself. I heard one time in a little quote that Marie Osmond said, you're going to laugh one day at yourself, you might as well go ahead now. And I've found that's been some of my greatest medicine, is just laughter. And just being able to laugh something off or shake it off. And we're all going to make mistakes. I mean, but the point is, we're not one, right? We're not a mistake.
You know, and I think it's so funny, you know, we talk about making mistakes. I think if you've ever worn stilettos, you know, you're going to break a heel one of these days. Did anybody come up here and chastise you and, you know, put your name up in billboards that you broke a heel and you fell? My goodness, you know. But so many people live in fear of these things that they believe are so monumental, which are so incidental.
They really are.
They really are.
They really are. And when you just look at, you know, the possibility of we're all going to age, but we don't have to be old, and that's a great question to ask yourself. And in what ways have I been feeling old lately? Mm-hmm. I think once you tune into that, that's a great measure for life. I started doing that practice a number of years ago, just being more aware of what gives me energy and what depletes my energy. And right. When you pay that attention, then you start being more selective. I mean, I don't know about you, but I put a lot into, you know, nutrition and taking care of myself and improving my mental talk, or, you know, whatever it is, that mm-hmm. I'm not willing to just give it all up for the sake of a special occasion anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, it's so funny, though, we say about growing old, but I have these arms. And I do bring this up all the time on the radio, because these upper arms, and, you know, now I will say this is an ancestry thing, because all of the women were all Polish. So we all have these, like, you know, these baggy upper arms. And, it, you know, just one day you woke up and you said, oh, my gosh, where did they come from? It just happened. But anyway, and I would always laugh when I tell clients, and I'll say, you know, when you get your blood pressure taken, we always say this. And I'll say, don't squish my wings. And they look at you like you're crazy, you know? So I said, I'm going to take my arms, and they're just going to be my wings, and, you know, and that's going to be that, and I'm going to forget about them. Because it's just something that I'm not going to go nip and tuck about it, and, you know, it's just what it is. So let it go. I've got other bigger peas in the pot, you know? I don't need to worry about that. So pick your challenges, pick those things you can make changes with, and all the others, my goodness, just have a laugh about it, because there really is no other choice, right?
That's right. That's absolutely correct. Well, life is such a journey.
Temple, we've come to the end of the show so fast. See, I told you we just keep going on.
It's amazing, isn't it? It seemed like we just got started. It just shows how good you are at what you do. You just make the time move along.
Well, thank you. But I know we just love to have conversations on the show, and we just find that, you know, we have to make light of everything. You know, no matter what the topic is, we're good at it. So would you like to share some more information with the listeners about your website, your events, and about your book? That would be wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, you can go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon and purchase my book, When Did You Die? 8 Steps to Stop Dying Every Day and Start Waking Up. And the premise of the book is to move from disconnected and drained to actually energized and impassioned about your life. And it's more than a touchy feel-good book. It actually has steps that are proven that will work effectively. My website is Temple Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S, templehayes.com. And I always am doing ongoing events. I have a blog that you can receive daily inspiration. And also, I'm going on an Alaskan cruise in September, and all the information is on the website. So love to have you join me. Lots of possibilities to stay in touch and stay connected.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
It's been a pleasure being on the show.
Great. Well, thank you. And if the listeners would like to know more information about Temple, her website is on the bottom of today's show page. It is templehayes.com. And again, her book is When Did You Die? 8 Steps to Stop Dying Every Day and Start Waking Up. And please do take the simple steps, because Temple and I have both said, you know, some of these little things, just let them go, you know. But some of these other big things, they will eat at you, and they will turn into a health issue. They will turn into a life issue, and they will do something to your spirit. I mean, even if no matter how good you try to cover it up with perfume and fancy dresses and smiles on your face and all that other stuff, you know, you cannot wipe away the inside of who you really are. And stop denying it, because you know what? Everybody's got issues. You know, everybody's got small ones and big ones, and we're all out there to learn at the same time. So please do take on the challenges of life, and don't worry about them so much. Just listen to a few of our shows. We've had a lot of them here. We talk about soul and spirit and health and wellness, and we also talk about a lot of fun things. So check out a lot of our shows and archives on Sedona Talk Radio or in the Blog Talk link, and please do make some changes, because you know what? This is just a period of time, and you'll pass through it, and you'll be on to your next life, and won't that be great too? So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher for Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and please do also check out our shows archived on iTunes. And thank you, and have a wonderful day.